Well, welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. If you're tuning in right now, John Harper is guest hosting for Drew this week. My name is Maggie. I'm one of Drew's producers. I am honored to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with you today. A couple of things I was thinking about on my drive into the studio today. I saw a number of car accidents as I drove in today. And I don't know if you had any travels this weekend. I know it's one of the highly traveled weekends of the year. I just want to pray for continued safety and successful travel for people who might still be on the roads. I also want to invoke all of your guardian angels for that safe travel. I was in Wisconsin this weekend. I visited my mom and dad, and I want to pray for rain. The upper Midwest is getting a little bit dry, and I know those farmers could really, really use a little bit of rain. So I want to ask for that. And lastly, today's readings, I don't know if you got a chance to go to Mass or if you got a chance to read the readings today. They're really all about what we give to God and how we give to God. He notices even the smallest thing that we offer up to him. So I just want to ask you, you know, have you given him your time today? Have you given him some prayer? Have you given him praise, even for some of the difficult things in your life? Have you given him your talent or your plans or maybe even your expectations? He is a good father, and he's in control. Sometimes we need to let go of that control a little bit. I am honored to pray today with John Harper. John, is there anything that you would like to lift up today?
I want to pray for my cousin Tom, who is coming home tomorrow after 8 months and 2 days in Catholic rehab centers to put his knees back together. And he has, thanks be to God, through a lot of prayer and through the sacraments, which were administered in his rooms in the couple of places that he's been in. He has remained faithful and strong, and his knees and legs are getting stronger, and he comes home tomorrow.
What was his name?
Thomas.
Thomas. Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lengthy journey.
It sure is.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll lift him up today. Let's start the Chaplet of Divine Mercy in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All right. Before we go to Carol from Jacksonville, Florida, I just have a couple of written intentions that came in. Ava would like to pray for Father James Blount, who's in Turkey. And she says, I'd also like to pray that I would be able to provide for my family. Charlene says, Jesus, I trust in you. My prayers today go out to St. Joseph for intercession. Please pray for Leonard and his mother, Barbara. They both have health issues. And Amanda from Wisconsin wrote to us and she said, I'd like to pray for my mother, Linda, who's 69, a devoted Catholic and listener of Relevant Radio, especially to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. My mother was recently diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer the day before Mother's Day. Unfortunately, it's not curable, or at least they're saying that. But we're praying that her pain can be controlled and that chemotherapy can shrink the tumors. We're even asking for a miracle. We trust in our Lord and know that she's in his hands. She's an amazing wife, mother, and grandmother, and we love her so much. Please pray. I thought that was so sweet. Amanda, we're praying for your family. All right, Carol, you're up first from Jacksonville, Florida. How can we pray for you today?
Hi, I would like to pray for my friend Betty. She is 90 years old. She was extremely active until she had to have emergency surgery 3 months ago. Oh. And since then, she's been in the hospital and back to rehab several times, and she just doesn't have the desire to eat or drink anymore. So would just like to pray for a miracle for Betty.
You got it, Carol. What a great intention. It sounds like you're a great friend to Betty, and that can be so hard when someone loves being active and then that's kind of taken from them. So we're going to lift up Betty. We're going to pray for her mental and spiritual well-being, that she can be willing to work towards that healing, and that the Lord would bring her that physical healing as well. So with that, we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to Barbara next, who's also calling in from Jacksonville, Florida. Barbara, how are you?
Good, Maggie. Wonderful. Good speaking to you. Congratulations on your marriage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
You're very welcome. I'm praying for a man named Hani, H-A-N as in Nancy, I. He is from Syria.
Okay.
He has cancer of the bladder. They operated on him and found out it was worse than what their daughter would be.
Mm.
So it's a very serious condition he has there.
Mm.
They pray for total healing, a miracle for him. And also, there's a man named Mark who's in a nursing home where my husband is, and he has a severe MS. He cannot move his body at all. He can just speak and think, but that's all.
Mm.
So I pray for total healing for him, a miracle for him. And my poor husband, he's another one. He cannot walk, and he has a blindness in one eye. So I pray for him for a total miracle for what he has problems with. And that would be all for today, Maggie.
You got it. Barbara, what was your husband's name?
James.
All right. Wonderful. Barbara, we're lifting you up for prayers. You didn't ask anything for yourself. So I want to pray for any of your private intentions that you might be holding. But I also want to lift up all of these prayers of healing for these individuals that Barbara has prayed for, especially for James, her husband. Lord, we give you all of these individuals. We give them over to you as the divine physician. You know exactly what every single one of us needs to be well, and we ask that you would make us so. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we're going to Union, New Jersey next. Josephine, how can we pray for you today?
Hi, Maggie. Hi, John. I am calling to ask the Relevant Radio Warriors to humbly pray for me that I pass all my preliminary testing to get accepted into a kidney transplant program, and that the doctor view my CAT scan and that he doesn't consider it that high risk because I have severe calcification of where the kidney would have to go.
Wow.
So that's what I'm praying for.
How long have you been dealing with this, Josephine?
I've been on dialysis for a year and a half.
Okay.
I might have a donor. My sister might donate a kidney, but we don't know if they could even do it because of the calcification.
Oh.
So I'm just praying for now. I got to go through a whole nother series of tests.
All right. Well, we're praying for you. Called the right place, Josephine.
I know.
You have a whole family of prayer warriors here that are listening and going, oh man, Lord, please come on. So we're going to petition him right now on your behalf. And
Yes, Jesus.
That's it. Amen. I love that attitude, Josephine.
Amen.
We're lifting you up.
Thank you.
And anyone else out there that might be dealing with any kidney issues, anyone else who might be on dialysis, anyone who might be dealing with this calcification, Lord, we give you this issue. We ask for your mercy to transform these problems into a great testimony someday. I would like Josephine to call back in a couple of months and tell us about how everything worked out really well. I also want to lift up a couple of intentions that came in on Twitter. Mac is praying for all of those who are trying to preserve the church and protect her in these trying times. Sonia is praying for her son. She says he had to put down his dog yesterday and he's missing her so much. Alan says that the Lord may lead me to a perfect job. I've been laid off since February from a bank. Steve is asking for prayers for Gwen. She's in the hospital. Aaron's asking for prayers for her son, Sean. And Chris wrote to us, this is the last one I want to mention for this decade. I think he's written to us before, and I just want to lift him up one more time. He's asking for prayers of forgiveness and unification between he and his parents. He says, I betrayed my parents' trust. I didn't work hard towards my future, and I wasted so much time. I'm so troubled, and I want to move forward, but first I have to regain their trust. Chris, I want to lift you up, brother. I hope you're listening today, because don't let despair take over in your life. Understand that we all make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are the things that end up leading us towards the right avenue that we're supposed to be in. When you recover from that, when you learn to reconcile from those mistakes, those are really big character building moments. So lean into that and just keep doing the next right thing, and your parents will notice. I promise you that. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Anne, you're next. You're calling in from Ontario, Canada, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Belleville, it's near, well, it's between Toronto and Ottawa.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. You feel like family. I have 7 daughters, and they were all following your wedding with bated breath, and they love the Mr. Handsome for the first row story.
Oh, that's so sweet. So, wonderful. Me too. I love it too.
Yeah. I had something like that happen, but never mind. My prayers today are for my brother, one of my brothers. I'm one of 6 siblings, 4 boys. The last 2 boys were identical twins. And then me and my younger sister, 18 months later, both of our parents passed away when we were young. I'd like to pray for them and also for the repose of the soul of Dennis and Terry, one of the identical twins and one of the second son. Both of them lived the woke lifestyle. And I grew up watching that. And it was no surprise to me that in their early 50s, both of my brothers, I went to their funerals. Dennis, it was his birthday yesterday, and his twin misses him a lot. And of the 6 of us, I'm the only one who practices the faith. So I would really, really, really ask for the prayers, like everybody else, for my family on this side of the veil and on the other.
Absolutely, also, Anne. Yeah, keep going. You had something else.
Oh, I just wanted to say hi to John. I miss him on Morning Air. Aww. Like John Morales, but I miss you.
Hi, Anne.
Hi.
That's I got to come visit you. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth, Belleville, Ontario, right on the lake.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Cale Clark's parents grew up here,
no way.
He knows it well. Aww. Yeah. My mom's maiden name is Clark. We're actually related.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Great. And I, you know, something kind of came to me as you were giving your prayer intentions, and I want to pray to the Lord here for fortification for you and your whole family, but especially you. I know that can feel pretty isolating when you are the only one in your family that's practicing the faith and trying to live it boldly. It does feel isolating. So I want to pray for fortification of you and your children on that pathway of faith, and your husband. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to pray for the success of family life, for the success of communication between siblings. I think that can be so tough. And I know that your brother is missing his twin, and that's unfortunately a communication that can not happen again on this side of the veil.
No.
Except through prayer for that soul. But, you know, these choices that we make in life do have consequences. And like you said, watching a sibling go through a destructive lifestyle has consequences. I pray for anyone that is lost on that path. I ask that the truth would be revealed to them, Lord, that the scales would fall from their eyes, and that they would see the truth, the real truth, you, Lord, Jesus Christ, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that the family bonds would never die, that we would be able to see those people on the other side of the veil someday. So we pray for the soul of her lost her lost brother. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, for our last decade here, we have Patricia on the line from New Jersey. Patricia, how can we pray for you today?
Hi, I'm actually calling for a prayer at Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I want to say, my son, actually, I saw my son. I was right behind him getting into an accident, car accident. And he kind of panicked. He's, he's only 18. And this guy just, cut him off. And he didn't want to hit him, so he was going right into the tree. And by the grace of God, he just, swerved the car, hit the tree, but didn't go head on.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the whole thing, so I ran to the car, and thank God he came out with, no scratches. I do have a picture of the Divine Chaplet, Jesus, in the car, and my St. Christopher rosary beads. I mean, I'm so blessed and so lucky. Wow. I saw the whole thing and run into the car. I didn't know what I was going to find, but he came out with no scratch, just a little hurt in his back, but that's okay. I'm just so, so thankful. I just want to thank God, and I know I have to let it go because I do close my eyes and see that image of my son going into the tree.
I'm sure.
But I just want to lift it up and just, I'm so thankful to God that my son's okay.
Wow.
And I just want to say thank you. And it's all because of this Divine Chaplet, and I pray a lot to it. And when I can, and I'm at work right now on my work phone working, and I could hear the Divine Chaplet. Sometimes I just call just to listen. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm so grateful to God. I'm grateful that my son is okay.
Oh, Patricia, God bless you. God bless you and your whole family for this miracle. I think the Lord delights when we come back and we say thank you when these things happen, because we know that there are those who would go about their lives and not thank him. The fact that you've turned around and you said, Lord, thank you so much, it gave me goosebumps listening to your story. Lord, we thank you so much that her son came out unharmed. And if there are listeners out there who aren't familiar with the promises that the image of divine mercy brings you through the promise of our Lord to St. Faustina, I highly suggest that you look into it, because it's a powerful spiritual protector. And with that, we pray our last decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments, we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Pope John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Rocco,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your Life Connected, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Did you ever stop to think about how blessed you and I are? Because depending on where you are and what you've done, you've probably seen an actual living saint. Now, you and I are called to be saints. Yeah, that's one thing. And there are saints, small s, in our families and those who make a difference in our communities and maybe those who have touched your lives. But I'm thinking of the opportunity to see Mother Teresa, now Saint Mother Teresa, the opportunity more than once to see Saint John Paul II, Saint John Paul the Great, the saints who are in our midst. But there are so many saints that obviously have shaped history. Those are two of the modern saints, and Randy Petrides has written about it in a brand new book from our Sunday Visitor called How the Saints Shaped History. And Randy's a retired attorney. He spent 38 years as a trial lawyer and administrator in the Genesee County, Michigan Prosecutor's Office. And then, after he retires, starts a whole new career, this as an author writing on Catholic theology. And the first book, as we mentioned, just out from our Sunday Visitor, is How the Saints Shaped History. Randy, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, as I'm reading through the book, it was like, how did he ever narrow it down to these saints? Because this could be the world's longest book, right?
Yes, I tried to write for the average Catholic in the pew,
yep.
And thus I wanted to make it more concise. I didn't want to write a long academic history. That's not my forte anyway. And so I had to narrow it down, but I think, on the other hand, 180 saints is quite a few, certainly a plenty for us to explore and to enjoy and to see how they have actually been the history makers throughout the 2,000 years of our church's history.
And one of the other great positives of your book, Randy, is the fact that it's also encapsulates the church history. And even though we're going through some difficult times in the church history today, we see how the church survived another equally difficult or maybe even more difficult times. And I'm just, you know, thinking of what the heroic work that St. Benedict did, St. Scholastica, and other saints that while the empire was collapsing, there was the church filling the void.
Absolutely. One of the reasons I wrote this book is to give us hope, because we know that there are tremendous challenges right now, and we have a tendency to think the sky is falling and these are the worst crises we've had, but that's not necessarily so. I mean, as you mentioned, some of those crises, others are, if you think back to the 4th century, over half the bishops believed that Jesus was not divine. And that is, to me, amazing. And St. Athanasius and several allies of his, the Cappadocian Fathers and among others, fought until finally the truth prevailed and we were able to put down the Arian heresy. Or if you look at the time of the Protestant Reformation, to me it's amazing to look at the great saints of the Counter-Reformation, which was really the Counter-Reformation was really a spiritual grassroots movement for the most part. After a while, it started to work its way up into the hierarchy of the church and maybe culminated with Pope St. Pius V. But a number of tremendous saints, some of the greatest saints we've ever had, all appeared on the scene by the grace and providence of God at the time we really needed it. And the church, although smaller, was actually in a much better place after the Reformation than before.
Randy Petriti is with us, the brand new book from our Sunday Visitor, How the Saints Shaped History. This is a wonderful and a very easy read. As Randy said, he wrote it for you and me in the pews. So it's not only a look at Catholic history, our church history, but how the saints navigated us through church history and how you and I can use those examples of the saints to navigate through the history today. This is a book about courage as well. We were just having that conversation with Archbishop Cordiglione in San Francisco with the desecration of the Unipera Sera statue, the five who are charged with that having gone from a felony down to a misdemeanor. But Archbishop Cordiglione talking about the courage that we need today, Randy, as Catholics, to stand up and simply say, I'm Catholic, in a culture that really pushes against who we are.
Absolutely. Perhaps one of the most poignant examples of that is St. Thomas More. I remember in watching the movie A Man for All Seasons, there was a line in there where some of the leaders of the English government, I don't know if the king was in that scene or not, said, you know, after all, this is England. You know, bad things don't happen here. And it made me think that's kind of like what we're looking at today. And to have the kind of courage that Thomas More had to say, no, I'm the king's good servant, but I'm God's first. Yes, and there are innumerable examples throughout history of the saints showing the way, blazing the trails toward courage.
Add St. John Fisher to that list as well, because that's also at
Absolutely.
A very critical time with Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, things can turn so fast, John. You know, I didn't know this until I researched for this book, but King Henry VIII, not long before he turned on the church and Thomas More and his friends, actually was given an award by the Pope as Defender of the Faith for standing up against Luther.
Wow.
So, boom, things turned right around, and you never know when you're going to get hit. So.
You're right. Just be vigilant, right? You never know. And our Sunday Visitor has published How the Saints Shaped History. Randy Petrides is the author and our guest here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And we're curious at 888-914-9149. You and I all have our go-to saints, but I'm curious, who are the saints who have shaped your personal history? Our number is 888-914-9149. Who are the saints who have helped make you the Roman Catholic man or woman you are? Love to share your stories as well. In addition to the stories in the book, our number is 888-914-9149. Randy, talk a little bit as we go through church history, and I know I'm jumping around just a little bit, how the Jesuits were very important during the Catholic Counter-Reformation.
Absolutely. That was their finest hour. And obviously, St. Ignatius Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, was arguably the MVP of the Catholic Counter-Reformation. What he did with his associates who became the Jesuits was just remarkable in the fanning out all over Europe and founding schools and putting on programs. And I think it was St. Peter Canisius who wrote a tremendous catechism that was translated into multiple languages that really helped save Bavaria for the Catholic Church. And scattered about, and the ones that followed after him, St. Robert Bellarmine and St. Charles Borromeo. You can just go on and on what they did to plant the seeds for spiritual renewal, knowing that the best way to deal with the challenges of the Reformation is not usually fighting tit for tat and battling the doctrinal issues. There's a place for that. But leading people back to the Lord Jesus, getting back to the basics of our faith. And they did that. And I should also add St. Francis Borgia, who was the successor to St. Ignatius. And usually when you have a superstar founder, the person who follows him is not as good. But Francis Borgia, in the latter part of the 16th century, kept the Jesuits on message, and did absolutely as well as St. Ignatius did in fomenting renewal. And also, one of the great discoveries I made as I was going back to read about some of the writings of St. Teresa of Avila was he was instrumental in her ministry because he was her spiritual director at the time she was trying to figure out whether or not her visions were from the Lord, from Satan, or from her own imagination, and he helped her discern that they were from the Lord. And but for that, we wouldn't have had St. Teresa of Avila. And so there's another Jesuit there that really was instrumental in the Counter-Reformation.
Randy, I would imagine as we talk about the Counter-Reformation here in your book, how the saints shaped history, that you perhaps have a special devotion to St. Francis de Sales, who, like you, was a lawyer and then goes and becomes a priest. Maybe after you become an author, you can go into the seminary.
My wife would have something to say about that.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
We'll get you ready for the diaconate. There's still plenty of time.
Right. St. Francis de Sales is special to me. I think probably St. Thomas More has maybe throughout the course of my life been my, might say, my mentor or my patron as a lawyer, but certainly St. Francis de Sales fills that need too because of his practical wisdom. Thomas More fought the battles in the arena there, where Francis de Sales showed us the way. And in his Introduction to the Devout Life, he showed us how to live. And so in that sense, he's right up there with Thomas More as a great personal patron. I think for me, just recently, this is no surprise because it's like many, many Catholics, St. Teresa of Lisieux has been important to me because as I read more of her, just that one step at a time, hang in there and try to focus on Jesus. Of course, then I have to say, well, boy, I blew that today. And so, but just keep trying. And the tremendous wisdom that she had was remarkable. So she'd be another one I would put up there, even though she certainly wasn't a lawyer.
Our conversation on the Drew Mariani Show with Randy Petrides, who's a retired attorney. He spent nearly four decades as a trial lawyer and an administrator in Genesee County, Michigan's prosecutor's office. And now he's an author writing on Catholic theology. And his first book is just out from our Sunday Visitor called How the Saints Shaped History. It's a fascinating book. We're going to go in depth into this book with Randy as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show, and also share your stories at 888-914-9149. As we look at the saints that shaped history, who are the saints who have shaped your personal history? Who are those saints who have helped you make you the Roman Catholic man or woman you are? 888-914-9149 is our number for your stories and more with Randy as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew today. A great book that we recommend, just out from our Sunday Visitor, written by Randy Petrides, who's a retired attorney and now in his second life since his retirement has transitioned over to writing on Catholic theology. And this first book, just out from our Sunday Visitor, is How the Saints Shaped History. How the Saints Shaped History. It's a fascinating look, not only on the history of the church, but also to have a more intimate picture of who these saints are that really shaped who you and I are as Catholics today. Today, really, and how the church is today. And also, it's a roadmap for where we're going to go. It's a book of hope. It's a good book of courage. It's a book of many different descriptors. And Randy is joining us today. And of course, we're sharing your stories about the saints who have shaped your personal history at 888-914-9149. Randy, talk about some of the great philosophers that, perhaps we're not as acquainted with as we should be.
Okay. Well, obviously, the great philosophers, St. Thomas Aquinas, and although he's certainly famous. He'd be one of the first names you would hear. Just a little aside, as some of us know, when he was late in his life, he had a mystical experience, a vision of the Lord that was so powerful that he said, the Summa Theologica that I had been writing, that's so much straw compared to the glory of God that I was able to discern from that, from my my vision. And so he never finished his great Summa, as good as this. I think he thought about just about everything. Maybe another one would be St. John Damascene. Another little discovery I made while I was writing the book is that St. Thomas Aquinas was a tremendous admirer of John Damascene, who was, I believe, in the 700s, read his philosophical writings regularly, and that helped to impact his own thinking and his own writing. And so I'm not an expert on the particular nature of that, but for those who do wish to explore philosophy, the writings of St. John Damascene would be maybe one that you don't often think of. And he did so from interesting, behind enemy lines, you might say. He was in Damascus, Syria. That's where his name comes from. And he got himself into trouble with the church authorities because he fought iconoclasm. And that was all the rage at that time. But they couldn't get at him because he was in Muslim territory. So I always thought that was an interesting aside there. So he would be one other than probably the two most famous ones, Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. Venerable Bede was a deep, deep thinker. And I suppose if I thought about it another minute, I'd come up with some other names too, of some tremendous thinkers throughout the history of the church.
And to be studied, because I would argue that enemy territory today for us as Catholics is the culture certainly pushing back. We see what's happening with the Los Angeles Dodgers and any number of other organizations across the country. Randy, our Relevant Radio family of listeners want to join in as we talk with Randy Petrides. Brand new book just out from our Sunday Visitor, How the Saints Shaped History. And we're talking about your stories. Who are the saints who have helped make you the person that you are today, those who have shaped your personal history? Polly's in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hi, Polly. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for taking my call.
And who's that saint that has been instrumental in shaping your personal history?
St. Francis of Assisi I have a lot of the Catholic saints that I really appreciated, but he has a special place in my heart. I try and lead my life through his the lyrics of the song or his prayer of St. Francis. I grew up in a country that was, you know, every 90% of the people are Catholic. I went to Catholic school from preschool to college, and there was Franciscan schools. So St. Francis' prayer was not just prayed every morning, but it was also in big letters on the main gathering place that all the girls, it was all girls Catholic school. So I was always there for us to see, and was always there for us to remind ourselves that if you really want to be a true Catholic, a true Christian, you should live by those words and try to imitate it.
Ah, that's wonderful. Polly, thanks for sharing that story. St. Francis of Assisi for you. Tom's in Cross Lake, Minnesota. Tom, who is the saint or saints who have shaped your personal history? Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so actually I have two. So St. Isidore Seville and St. Jose Maria Escrivá have been kind of my models. And it's amazing how the Lord works. I came across St. Isidore, not because I'm a farmer myself, but I love nature and flowers and gardening. And I seem to have a green thumb. And I started, you know, really being interested in, you know, St. Isidore because he was, you know, receive angelic help. Well, come to find out, as my devotion furthers, He's really appropriate for my life. I'm a robotics engineer developing automation, machine learning, AI. I suffer some spectrum disorders and ADHD, and he happens to be the patron saint for technologists. And also, as you speak about philosophy, he's also got some deep philosophy, which kind of fits it. It's amazing. So you talk about modeling your life, you know, in St. Jose Maria Escrivá, basically every day, right? Every day right. in what we do. And that has been so beneficial. I suffer from, you know, humility, you know, lack of humility and wanting to, you know, wanting to achieve. And it's just to be centered back to what we do daily is just such a wonderful gift.
And I'm sure, Tom, you've heard Father Rocky, who's our executive director, Randy, is a priest of Opus Dei. And exactly, we've learned so much about St. Jose Maria Escrivá. And you talk about him in your book.
I do. And maybe I had a little head start because when I was in law school, there was an Opus Dei chapter at Notre Dame. And one of my very best friends and former roommates at Notre Dame is an Opus Dei priest in New York City. So he's always been special to me, and I have his book of maxims, The Way, at my nightstand, and from time to time I pick it up and let him teach me.
Very powerful saint as well. And as we jump forward here, just in the interest of time, into 20th century saints, I have a tremendous devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. As I sit here in our New York studio, a kind listener many years ago sent about a 3-foot cardboard caricature that he did, original piece of art of Venerable Fulton Sheen holding a microphone. So I'm looking at him right now as I speak to you. We were also blessed before the Pope came, Pope Francis came to New York in 2015 to get a tour of the then newly renovated St. Patrick's Cathedral. And Monsignor Ritchie, who was the rector at the time, Randy, took us in the crypt underneath the altar where Fulton Sheen was buried at the time before the controversy, before he's gone back out to Peoria, Illinois. And he said, well, there was a very well-worn kneeler there, so well-worn that there were two U's where the knees would go. There was no more padding. That's how well-worn it was and however old it was. And he said, go ahead and say a prayer. So Matt Beardsley, who produced the show, and I were saying a prayer in front of the crypt of Venerable Fulton Sheen. And then Monsignor says to us, you know, when John Paul II was here, he knelt in that kneeler. And for, you know, two Catholic kids, that's pretty heady stuff to hear. And then yeah. then he gives us the punchline. He said that was Fulton Sheen's kneeler.
That's powerful. Yes, I remember Fulton Sheen saying when asked, where do you get all this wisdom that you have on your show? And he says, in front of the Blessed Sacrament on my knees.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, and that is also a thread that we see in the profiles of the saints who have shaped history, how the saints shaped history. The title of your book is, we always talk about, if there's a blocking and tackling of our Catholic faith, it's spending time in front of the Eucharist, it's prayer, spending time in the Eucharist, the sacraments, right? And that's the common thread that we see in all of these lives that you have portrayed.
Absolutely. There's no way any of those 180 people or the other thousands that are out there could have gotten to the level of sanctity they did unless it was founded first in prayer and in the Eucharist. And so many of them had a tremendous devotion to the Eucharist, particularly or the Blessed Sacrament. That's not an or, but through the Blessed Sacrament as well as receiving the sacrament. And in prayer, there's nobody that's gotten to be a saint if he hadn't spent a lot or she hadn't spent a lot of time on their knees. It doesn't work that way.
And one of the other things that jumps out of your book, Randy, is you see the humanity of these saints, because it's so easy to put saints on pedestals and think that we cannot achieve what they have. But you truly see the humanity of these men and women in your book.
Yes, they're people, and I know we're not supposed to think that they're up on pedestals and unreachable. Yes, we all struggle to in our growth towards sanctity. But for example, St. Jerome, who had an acid tongue and he was sarcastic and he got himself into trouble with a lot of people. But the thing about that was he was self-aware. He knew he had that issue and he worked on it. And providentially, when he was asked by Pope St. Damasus to, hey, you go out there and you translate the Bible, you have that special gift, do that. And he ended up doing so in Bethlehem, where he, in a monastery. And one of the main reasons he was there is because he needed to get away from some of the people that he had been in conflict with.
Right. So, this, you talk about humanity. There it is. This is a terrific book. Randy, I'm sorry. Our time has gone by so quickly. We've got to get Drew to bring you back because this is a wonderful book. It's just out from our Sunday Visitor. We recommend it. We'll tweet out at Drew Mariani Show how you can get your copy of How the Saints Shaped History. Randy Petrides, a retired attorney, trial lawyer, administrator in Genesee County, Michigan. This is his very first book, and I'm hopeful one of many. We look forward to the next one from our Sunday Visitor, How the Saints Shaped History. Randy, thank you. God bless you.
And thank you so much for having me, John. God bless you.
Randy Petrides joining us from Grand Blanc, Michigan. Coming up in the next hour, inside the debt ceiling, what that means for you and me. It's still not a done deal as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.